my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in on Labor Day for my 1-2-3 cents the podcast right here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, also on iTunes, Stitcher, and Pod Directory. No matter how you're listening, we appreciate you downloading and sharing. We're going to talk today about the King of Trios tournament with Chikara Pro. Chad, of course, a little maybe car lagged, I guess, because you're not really jet lagged because you've been driving a lot, but Chad has been taking a closer look at the eastern part of the United States and actually just wrapped up 3 days of Chikara Pro. So Chad, tell me first of all, how you doing?
I am a little tired. It is, you know, a lot of late nights and early mornings and lots of driving, but I'm doing good.
So for fans who, and I know we do have a lot of Chikara fans because, as we've talked about before, Dasher Hatfield and Jervis Cottonbelly, for example, two of the most listened to podcasts here on the Jittery Monkey, my 1-2-3 cents podcast. But for fans who maybe don't know exactly what King of Trios is with Chikara, kind of walk us through and tell us exactly what the three-night tournament entails.
Well, as you said, it's a three-night tournament of trios. So, you know, lots of six-man tag actions. There are 16 teams that compete over the course of three nights. The first night is nothing but trios matches, so there are 8 matches on the first night, and then the second night is the quarterfinal matches, so there are 4 trios along with 4 other matches, and then the day 3, the first 2 matches of the show were the semifinal matches, and then the main event is the finals, the crowning of the King of Trios.
Now, tell me a little bit about the action that happens that first night. It's not just, as we talked about before, it's not just Chikara Pro guys or indie guys that are part of this, because one of the teams you were looking forward to seeing was the Blue World Order, is that right?
Yes, yeah, the BWO reunited, I believe, the 3 of them as a unit for the first time since they were in the revamped WWECW. Yeah, you have, I'm trying to think off the top of my head because I don't have notes with me. It's, I believe there were, let's see, 16 teams. I believe 11 of them were made up of Chikara regulars. And then there was the Blue World Order, as we mentioned, Team Bullet Club, which was AJ Styles and the Young Bucks. And then 2 teams, Team Attack and Team Fight Club Pro. 2 groups made up of English wrestlers, and I believe there was one other. Maybe that's it. I think that can be.
Yeah, I think you're. I'm looking at the list right here, and I think you're right about that. Was there, obviously, opening night, the first night, they were all the trios matches, and you have a pretty good blog up about that on my123cents.com, kind of recapping that first night of action. Was there anything in particular that first night that stood out to you? I was kind of disappointed that Dasher's Dugout lost, but I wasn't totally surprised that happened. And you got some really good pictures, too. So if you want to like our My 1-2-3 Cents Facebook page, Chad has posted a lot of pictures there. And there's also pictures included in the post at my123cents.com. But what stood out to you that opening night?
Opening night. Well, the first half of the show, I would say, was the matches that were just wrestling based. There was really no ongoing Chikara storyline involved with most of those matches, and that was the main thing to come out of that first half, I think, is Team Fight Club really kind of broke out and made a name for themselves as the ones to watch in the tournament that first night. Then the second half of the show was more of your storyline matches. And I'm totally sorry. I should have taken notes and having stuff to fall back on besides my failing memory. but that was the first night was just, I'm trying to think what the matches were. But you had Battleborn, who I believe defeated Dasher's Dugout.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Which I kind of expected, because I kind of saw Kevin Condren's group kind of making a run, trying to prove his dominance. Although, on the second night, they were eliminated, and then the third night, it kind of then paid off in a different match, which I'll get to a little bit later. And then I was disappointed. I thought BWO would pull the upset of the night by knocking off Devastation Corporation, the reigning King of Trios. Yeah, it was not to be, but it was still a good match, and it was entertaining watching. I think Devastation Corporation kind of had a different match than what they're used to because they're facing the BWO, so there's a little more comedy involved. And, I mean, the BWO, they look like they could still go.
But it's probably been about 10 years or so since we've seen them as a collective unit. You said, though, the fans were very receptive of them and even chanted, please come back.
Yeah, I mean they obviously have the nostalgia factor working for them. And being so close to Philadelphia, I think that probably helps as well. But, yeah, I mean, they did not go in there. And, in the past, teams have come in, say, like Demolition, the one-man gang. Guys, you could tell were a lot past their prime. But mm-hmm. They still put on a good, but you have that nostalgia factor where you just enjoy it for what it is. Whereas BWO, we're still doing stuff that was very similar to what they did in their, let's say, prime. And, Stevie Richards is a huge DDP yoga fan, and I believe in a trained, licensed instructor, so
he is.
Looked good. And Meanie looked like the Meanie that you remember from the BWO.
Sure.
And Nova's, I think he needs to have a little talk with Simon Dean, Simon Dean?
Yeah.
Yeah, Simon Dean and get a workout program. But he still looked good. And, it was just fun. And that is the key word for, really, Chikara and King of Trios is fun.
Now, I know that when some of these guys get eliminated, they have singles or tag team matches then throughout the rest of the weekend. Did the Blue World Order appear anymore Saturday or Sunday, or were they done?
Not on Saturday, but on Sunday, on night three, they have the annual tag team gauntlet match, which you never know who's going to be in or how many teams are involved. But the Blue World Order did come back out. It was Meanie and actually Simon Dean came out, not Hollywood Nova. Simon Dean came out, and I just saw the show like 3 hours ago. You'd think I remember it. But the last hour of driving has wrecked my memory. I know they defeated one team and then lost and got beaten the second. I'm trying to remember if they... I would have to look it up. While I look this up, we'll just kind of ramble for a little bit. Yes, they did come back. Stevie Richards did not. I know he was at the show on Saturday. Before the show, in the afternoon, they had the fan conclave, and you could play. They had an Xbox One set up. You could play video games against wrestlers, and I have a picture from the Day 2 album of Stevie Richards playing UFC against some fans.
So talk to me about the fan conclave. We've been to WrestleMania Access. I think a lot of our listeners have probably been to or at least heard about WrestleMania Access. We've been to the TNA house shows where they do you know, the thing that with the fans can interact with the men and women who wrestle on the show. So talk about Fan Conclave and how that is compared to those other events.
You know, I think the contrast is Fan Access obviously has more going on, has more displays, more items to view. The Conclave was more of just a... I mean, all the wrestlers are at their merchandise table trying to, you know, get you to buy their merchandise.
Is it held at the same place the actual wrestling matches are held?
Yeah, it's in the same place.
Okay.
So it's kind of odd in that sense because during each of the three shows, you can still talk to the people at their table. But they do have the video game going on. This year they had the dating game where the three contestants were Jarvis Cottonbelly, Juan Francisco de Coronado, and Sydney Bacabella. And the female contestant got to pick, you know, ask questions and then pick, just like the old dating game. And then they also had Jakob Hammermeyer was trying to recruit minions for the BDK. He was unsuccessful. He decided no one was worthy of being a BDK minion. And that was all that I saw. I was only there for about an hour and a half because after I realized that I didn't want to spend any more money. I'd already spent enough on merchandise. And I didn't have anything to talk to the wrestlers about other than passing out a couple of business cards and trying to line up some future guests for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't have much to say.
Who won the dating game thing?
Jarvis Cottonbelly.
Okay. Was it legit? Like, do you think they were legit playing, or was this...
I mean, everybody was in character, and so... And the female contestant was the wrestling granny, who, if you're a fan of Chikara... you're probably familiar with her because she goes to all the Easton shows, and I believe they've pointed her out on camera before, and everybody was answering in questions, so if you had a passing knowledge of the characters, you could obviously infer, one, from their voice, and two, from their answers, who was who. So I don't think it was rigged, but I don't think it was a completely level playing ground, you would say.
Uh-huh, sure.
So, yes, and I remember after, at the end, when they introduced the losers this first, you know, like, oh, let's see the people you didn't pick. Cindy Bacabella looked at her and was like, oh, I guess I did win. Or something like that. So.
Nice. Yeah. So, tell me a little bit, too, from what you can remember, because I know you didn't take a lot of notes. I'm looking at your pictures now. I see Matt Cross. I see Too Cold Scorpio. Was he Too Cold Scorpio or was he Flash Funk?
He was Too Cold Scorpio.
Okay. So obviously those guys, some familiar faces, or at least if you're an indie fan or watch Lucha Underground, you know who Matt Cross is. And of course he was on the Stone Cold Steve Austin season of Tough Enough when he was I think he was one of the first ones eliminated, wasn't he?
He was eliminated early on, yeah.
Really a great guy, in my opinion. I've you know, seen him and worked with him on the independent scene, but he was obviously a part of the show. And you've got an interesting picture here, too. I'm clicking on it right now, and I can't exactly tell. This might be Matt Cross, but there's, like, they're flipping...
The stereo moonsault?
Yeah. Is that Matt Cross as one of them?
Probably. Let me see if I can...
See, wearing blue... It's a pair of long blue tights.
Yeah, that would be him. I'm gonna start clicking on my.
That's a pretty cool picture. So, just talk a little bit about the singles matches or the tag team matches that went on that weren't part of the trios per se.
All right. And this will kind of I'll segue into this. Night two, in my opinion, was the weakest night of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that had to do with the matches that weren't part of the King of Trios. So they started the show off with the match between Smooth Sailing Ashley Remington versus Jaka. And I'm a huge Ashley Remington fan. I think this guy in ROH known as Dalton Castle is kind of a ripoff of Ashley Remington. His look, anyway, character's a little different. But it was just a match. It was part of the Challenge of the Immortal series. But it it just, I don't know, there wasn't anything behind it, really. It, even though the fans are fans of both guys, the match itself was just kind of there. And then after the intermission, the first match back was an 8-man tag with the heel side was, or the Rudo side, I believe was a team called the Amazing French Canadians, who I'm not familiar with, and they didn't appear on in the tag gauntlet. So this was, I don't know if they're, what their background is. And then you had them teaming, they teamed up with the returning Extreme Force team of Orbit Adventure Ant and Arctic Rescue Ant, who have not been seen, I want to say since last year, I could be wrong, could been, they may have been around earlier this year, but it was a team that hadn't been around, so the fans were just like, oh, okay, welcome back. And then the base team, Technico team, was 3.0 making their return after, I don't think, having been seen at all in this season. And talking with some fans before the show on Friday, they we knew that 3.0 was going to be in the tag gauntlet. And I said, you know, it's good to see them back. And they're like, oh, well, the fans in person have apparently turned on 3.0. And it's like, it was a weird, for me, as a fan of 3.0, I didn't realize that they had kind of gone heel, or the fans are making them heel. And then they teamed up with NRG, who's a team that has kind of taken the place of 3.0, but they're still not. NRG, I think, give them another year, the fans will really be behind them. Right now, they're just kind of, maybe it's my opinion, they're just kind of not at that next level yet. So you had four teams where the audience really wasn't into it. And actually, in the section I was sitting in, there were fans behind me who were just aggravated that this match was happening, and just being very un-Chikara fan-like, complaining, booing everything that 3.0 did. And it got to the point where after the match, Leonard F. Chikarason actually came over, talked to some fans around him, and then booted these guys out.
Wow.
And I think it was, I didn't hear a lot of stuff from, but from reading the message board, the Chikara message board, and talking with some other fans, it appears the fans were drunk and were swearing a lot, which is a Chikara no-no. And it just, that kind of, honestly, in my opinion, kind of took down night two for me, because it was such a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other story. I'm getting off the topic. But so you had a you had two matches where the crowd really wasn't into it, and then within the King of Trios tournament itself, there's another mini tournament called the Rey de Valladoras, or as Chuck Taylor would call it, the King of the Flippy Flops. and that was where Matt Cross was in the first match. So they had two 4-way elimination matches, one on the first half of the show, second on the second half. And the first one was Matt Cross, Too Cold Scorpio, Amasis, and the reigning Rey de Valladeros. I hope I'm saying that right. Probably not. Shenron. And this match really lived up to the title King of the High Flyers, because those guys were just all over the place. And the pictures do not do justice to the action. But there were some really good moves in that move. And Too Cold Scorpio, you know, the guy's been around for probably close to 30 years now. I mean, I remember when he debuted in WCW, when Ron Simmons brought him in back in, I say I remember it, now I'm going to probably fudge the year, 90 or 91.
Mm-hmm.
The guy can still go in the ring. You know, he is just top notch. And then the second match was, Shenron won the first match to advance. And the second one was Ophidian. Some new guy, Mascarada something, or Mascara, my Spanish is horrible, Pinky Sanchez, and Mark Andrews, who was part of Team Attack on night one, and he's been in TNA before. He won their British boot camp. And I was hoping that Amasis would win to face Shinran because, or not Amasis, I'm sorry, Ophidian, because they are members of the Snake Pit in the Challenge of the Immortals teams. So I thought that would have been an interesting dynamic. Mark Andrews ended up winning the match, and then he faced Shinran on day three and was victorious to become the new Rey Valladares. And then that match was really exciting, and I think Andrews had a good weekend that could probably see him, you know, get some more Chikara bookings out of this. I think the fans were really into him.
Now, other than having that title, is there any, or, you know, that name, so to speak, is there any kind of implications involved with winning that little tournament?
You get a nice plaque, and you just get to be called the King of High Flyers for the next year.
So they just do this every year at King of Trios?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's not like the Young Lions Cup, which is an actual title that is defended.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, it's, I guess you could say, kind of the King of the Ring for Chikara.
So we mentioned Devastation Corporation earlier. Of course, Max Smashmaster was on the podcast last week, and he promised victory this year. Obviously, that didn't happen. Who eliminated the reigning, defending King of Trios champions?
They were eliminated by the eventual winners, Team AAA, which was Drago, Phoenix, and Aerostar.
Now, are those? I'm assuming Team AAA implies the AAA Mexico wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. So
they can also be known as I said, Team Lucha Underground, as they all competed there as well.
Now, has a team? I'm assuming they're not really, I mean, other than the trios, they're probably not affiliated with Chikara. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, has a team ever done that before? Like a non-Chikara team gone on to win the entire tournament that you can remember?
This is the first completely all outsider group. Back in 2008, Team Mexico, again, did win, which featured Incognito, who... if I am correct, it was Lince Dorado, who was a Chikara regular at the time, Incognito, and I can't remember the third person name on that team. And so I can't remember if the other person was like an actual known Mexican. And I say, no, I think Incognito was also known, but like, you know, for lack of a better term, a legend in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Or Incognito is. Was the wrestler that is now known as Sin Cara in WWE.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. What are your thoughts on AAA, Team AAA winning?
You know, I think they were the odds on the fan favorite to win this year, or at least the ones the fans wanted to win. I was surprised that the finals came down to them versus the Bullet Club, because that meant that you had no Chikara team in the final.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was interesting booking due to Team AAA being a Mexican team. The Bullet Club, AJ Styles, and Young Bucks, although well-known here in the States, are part of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And my knowledge of foreign promotions is pretty bad. But talking with a fan in line, he mentioned that New Japan, I believe, is associated with CMLL in Mexico. And so having those two teams square off against each other could have posed some international politic issues.
Mm.
I know when AJ Styles was the IWGP champion, all of his bookings here in the States, I believe he could not be pinned. Because, you know, if you're a champion in one promotion and you go in and lose in another promotion, that doesn't sit well with your the promotion where you're, you know, supposedly the best.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an interesting booking. And at one point during the main event, there was one fan who just, it was kind of amusing because all he would just yell out the names of the Bullet Club members. He'd be like, "Yo, AJ, yo, Nick, yo, Matt, Nick. And just trying to get their attention. I don't know why. And at one point he yelled at AJ, and AJ just looks at him like, shut up, I'm being the heel tonight. I will say one thing, and this just popped in my head, so I want to say this while I'm thinking of it. One of the things that is interesting about the three nights is how something small that is kind of inconsequential in the grand scheme of things kind of gets played out over the course of the night, over the three nights. On the first night, during the Bullet Club match, AJ went to do a springboard, jumping from the apron to the top rope to hit a move, and he slipped on the ropes, and he just got up, and because Chikara is heavily influenced by Lucha Libre, he called them Lucha Ropes, and then he got on this kick where he hated Lucha Ropes. He had the Young Bucks super kick the rope after the match was over with to, I guess, get revenge on it. And then on night two, he went to do the same move, but he wiped down the rope before doing it. And then I think he ended up not even doing the move. He just kind of came into the ring and hit his move. And then today, on the first match I believe it was the first match with Bullet Club, they were doing some comedy spots where they were tripping over things and tripping each other, and AJ went to do the same move again and tripped on the ropes. And then in the main event, he finally hit the move as it is intended to be hit. And it's just, it's those little details that I think bigger promotions miss out on. Like, they don't, if something doesn't go right, they just move on, and then it never comes back. Whereas Chikara, if there's a little detail that you can play into it, and because the fans obviously see it, they know, and when you keep kind of calling back to it, it's just a nice little humorous moment. But then, in this case, when AJ finally hit that move, I think the move got a bigger reaction than had he been hitting it normal ever since that first time.
Mm-hmm. So now you've been to obviously several Chikara shows. This is the first King of Trios you've been to, though, right?
Yes, this is the first King of Trios.
So how big was the crowd, first of all?
I know the second night they announced it as Super No Vacancy, standing room only. Today, I don't know if it was the same, but I would estimate at least 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
I could be off, but yeah, I mean, it looked pretty packed. Not packed like other indies try to pack you in where you have no room,
right?
But all the chairs that they had laid out seemed full, and they used up a lot of the space.
So where would the tournament, where would it, I know you said that Saturday nights, that, you know, night two was kind of a bit of a drag, but overall, what would you rate the experience of the wrestling and you know, the outcomes, if you will?
It's Chikara. I'm going to go 10 out of 10. It's it was a great weekend. Team AAA winning, I can't deny the talent that is on that team, and I really, out of the final four, any of the teams I would have been happy with. I would have liked to have seen Team Fight Club win it, just because I think they had a breakout weekend, and it would have been a nice Cinderella story to sell the show. But Team AAA being there, I don't know what I'm saying. It's overall, everything was really well done. One of the things I was thinking of on the drive over tonight to the hotel was the lack of story progression in as far as like the season long Chikara story going. And that's where night two really had more of that. So it's kind of interesting that I'm kind of conflicted on my opinions of not enough storytelling, night two being the weakest of the two nights, of the three nights. But that's the one where at the main event was Devastation Corporation versus the Arcane Horde, which is Ultramantis Black's team, and who featured Oleg the Usurper, who is managed by Cindy Bacabella. So they were, Cindy kept like trying to keep Oleg out of the match because he kept showing him the contract that he owned, and he didn't want him in there with Devastation Corporation. And then finally Oleg turned face fully, I guess you could say, and took out Cindy Bacabella. But then Devastation Corporation ended up taking out Bryce Remsburg, the referee, and Ultramantis Black. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And then on night three, during the Tag Team Gauntlet match, Battleborn, Kevin Condren's group, Juke Joint, Lucas Calhoun, and Missile Assault Man, no longer Missile Assault Ant, their last opponents were Orbit Adventure Ant and Arctic Rescue Ant, who were the teammates of Missile Assault Ant. And so after that match was over, or even during the match, Orbit Adventure and Arctic Ant tried to get Missile Assault Ant to come back over to them, and he didn't. He ended up beating both of them up. And then after the match, Kevin Condren said, you know, last summer, Lucas Calhoun saw his teammate murdered at the hands of the Flood, which was the Rudo group from last season. Last fall, Kevin Condren saw his teammates murdered in front of him, and now Missile Assault Ant had to watch his teammates be murdered as well, which, I have to say, for a family-friendly show, there's a lot of murdering going on in Chikara in the last 2 years. and it ended up with Kevin Condren murdering, I'm using air quotes, murdering Orbit Adventure Ant. So I don't know where this is going to go. And it's very interesting how, even in this weekend that is more of a tournament setting, there's still some story progression going on to keep things flowing into the next few shows, hopefully.
And I know that you don't, I don't know how much you know and how much you don't know, but when they kill off one of these characters, so to speak, is it to put them in as a different, I mean, are these guys leaving Chikara, or are they coming back as different characters, or do you have any idea?
I have no idea. I don't know. I mean, I would say, given Chikara's nature, if they are brought back as a new identity, it's probably going to be a year or two down the road. I don't think it's not going to be. You know, I'll use the example that I tweeted to you about earlier when we were going back and forth making fun of each other. It's not like when Andre the Giant disappeared and then Giant Machine shows up,
right?
Unless it's a case like a few years ago when Archibald Peck was lost, a loser leaves town, and the handsome and mysterious stranger showed up. But I think if it is a repackaging, it's going to be long enough time to where fans won't notice as quickly, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was one of the things we had talked about before, is there is one masked wrestler on the roster whose identity I learned of this week, which is very disappointing. And then once I learned it, it was very obvious when seeing the person.
Well, and I can't believe you didn't realize that before, but that's a whole nother story. But
yeah, I think it's because I don't pay that close attention.
Yeah, I can see.
I throw something on, and it's kind of half background noise, half watching. But I mean, once you see it and you're 2 feet away, and you can see, not through the mask, but you can get a closer visual, it's...
Sure.
But you know, that's one of the things I was disappointed in that revelation, because one of the things I love about Chikara is I know nothing about these wrestlers outside of the ring. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to know, because part of my fandom is buying into the characters. And so to me, they walk around in masks all the time.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. And,
that makes sense.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I said that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, as we kind of start winding things down, plug Chikara as far as how people can check out the product and win and how people can watch King of Trios.
Well, you can go to chikarapro.com for all your Chikara needs. They still have several shows remaining in this season. I know they're going to be in Indiana, I believe, in a few weeks, around the Louisville, Kentucky area. I can't remember the exact name of the town. Hopefully, all the previous shows are available. This season is available through the Chikara Pro website as downloads. I believe from ChikaraPro.com you can buy download files of the shows. DVDs are still available through SmartMarkVideo.com. And then Chikara also has their version, I guess, of Channel 999, the Chikara Porium, I hope. which I've not signed up for yet because I'm a slacker, but it is a lot of their previous, they've been around, this is season 15, I believe, so all the previous season shows are being put up onto a video on demand type service.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, if you're a wrestling, I mean, if you get into Chikara now and you want to go back and see, because as we've discussed many times, the storylines that are going on now have roots back. I would go back as early as season 4, if not earlier. The consistency in their storylines is incredible. And if you're a fan of WWE, you can go back and you can see where Cesaro kind of started. You can see when Daniel Bryan competed in King of Trios. El Generico now, you know, he's kind of similar to a Sami Zayn type luchador. You can see his matches, but yeah, you can do that. And I believe from what I was reading on their message boards is that the King of Trios they are hoping to have out by this week at some point, so hopefully they will do that. If I don't know how long it takes them to get out a show or how many people they have working on it, but I know that in the past, especially when Smart Mark Video was in charge of the shows, getting King of Trios out as quick as possible was a huge consideration because they know people are going to, it's probably the biggest selling shows of the year for Chikara.
Very cool. Well, as we mentioned, Chad has a plethora of pictures on the My123Cents Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/My123Cents, like it, and check out the pics. Chad, any final plugs before we say goodbye?
Not that I can think of. I just implore everyone to give Chikara a chance. It is, in my opinion, the best wrestling promotion out there, and it's all about fun. Just have fun in life in general too. Just have fun.
That's some good advice. That is very good advice. Let's have some fun, folks. Have some fun by sharing this podcast as well. Chad, as always, thank you, buddy. I'm glad you made it out there and made it safely, and we will chat again soon, I'm sure.
Sounds good.
Alrighty, fans, thanks again for tuning in to My 123 Cents.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.